Amen. Amen. If I can draw your attention to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18, where the writer says, yeah, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. One of the things that I've been doing recently, especially during this whole COVID, Corona-19, this whole pandemic, this whole thing, and I'm praying for you, and I trust that you've got your faith in God. I trust in God. I know He cares for me. I know His eye is on the sparrow, and He's watching us, and I'm praying for you right now. Even as we're doing this devotional, I'm praying God's blessing over you, and it'll keep you safe and watch over your life. I'm trusting God. I'm believing that the Lord is watching over me, and I know folk are praying for me, and I appreciate it. I need your prayers. And as I'm delivering the word on a consistent, constant basis, and it's exciting and it's wonderful, and I love doing it and it's fun, but keep me in prayer. But as much as your prayers are helping me, I've got this woman that the Lord gave me, and her name is LaShawn. Let me pull her picture. Can you see that? Her name is LaShawn. It's a bad black girl. My Lord, I got pictures of her all over my desk. I got another picture over here. Hair done. Ooh, hair straight. Look at that, this black girl. This black girl that the Lord has given me, that the Lord has blessed me with, the favor that's in my life, she's administrative, she's organized, and she is just determined that nothing is gonna take me out of here. My Lord, my God. And that's why they say men who are married live longer. My wife is definitely making me live longer. I can look over at her. And she's making me live longer. And she really, to be honest, beloved, she really don't let me leave the house that much, except to come here to preach to y'all. I know many of you are like saying, good, First Lady, don't let Pastor Andy go nowhere. Every now and then I'll sneak out to a Walmart and she makes me wear a mask. And then when I get in the house, she sprays me down with a hazmat. Anyway, she doesn't really let me go anywhere, really. And so much of the staff, Pastor Colin, Pastor Tyrus, Pastor Frieda, Pastor Algie, they're all doing so much work. And Pastor Johnny, everyone, they're working so hard and so diligently, contacting everyone. And they want me to just do this. They don't want nothing happening to me. So one of the things that I have been allowed to do, hallelujah, is do some work on my land. I own some land. And out where I live, out in the country, it's North Carolina out here. And I done turned country. And one of the things that I've been doing on my land, I own 60 acres of land. And it's all woods. One of the things I've been doing is I've been cutting paths. I've been taking my chainsaw, got my gun, shotgun on my back, my 40 on my hip, chainsaw, loppers, gloves. And I get up, I have a little talk with Jesus, tell him all about my problems, hear my faintest cry, answer by and by, get a little prayer wheel turning, know a little fire is burning, have a little talk with Jesus, makes it all right, look at the scriptures, and then I go in early in the morning, 7:30, 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning, I'm out here cutting these trails. And before it gets hot, then I come in, change, shower, counsel people, do work, study, write sermons. Okay. When you're cutting a path, you don't always know where you're going. Part of what I do is I get on the satellite. I can't spend too much time on this, but it's good. I get on the satellite on my phone. I put a dot in where I want to go. And then I have a pin in where I am and a dot in where I want to go. And then I track my way there. I go little by little. I take little steps and I hang flags. And it's 2 yards, 3 yards, 4 yards, 4 yards at a time. Just look. One of the things that's very often in the way is vines. There's stuff in the way. There's vines at my feet. And you think the path is clear and then something trips you. Especially when it gets darker. I'm trying to make the path so clear that I can walk it in the darkness. My God. I'm trying to make the path so solid and so level and so plain that even when I can't see, I can still walk. I want to make the path so level and so straight. I want to get everything off the ground that would trip me, because there's going to be times in which I'm walking in the darkness. Oh, hallelujah. I'm speaking to somebody. I'm walking in the darkness. And when I walk it in the darkness, I need to make sure that it is level. Here Solomon says, listen, pay close attention to what I'm saying. The path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. It shines brighter and brighter to the fullness of day. But the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They don't even know what makes them stumble. They trip and aren't even aware of it. And in verse 23, Solomon says to us, above all else, I want you to guard your heart. Because it's the wellspring of life. I want you to put perversity away from your mouth. I want you to watch your mouth. I want you to be careful about what your lips say. I want you to think about the perversity that comes out your mouth. My God, there's a word to all of us. I want you to be careful about not just the cuss words that come out your mouth, not just the swear words that try to come out your mouth. Can I get a witness? But the rude things that come out your mouth, and the perversity that comes out your mouth, and the evil, and the complaining, and the lying, and the fussing, and the gossip, and the noise that comes out your mouth. He says, you gotta guard your heart. It's the wellspring of life. You gotta watch your mouth. You gotta be careful about it. You gotta keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Can I make that point? You gotta guard your heart. I don't want to spend too much time because I'm going to finish the sermon tonight. But you gotta guard your heart. It's the wellspring of your life. Your life springs from it. You gotta watch your mouth. You gotta put perversity away from your lips. Why we got you to praise? Last Wednesday, we talked about mouth muscle memory. Can I throw that on the screens for you real quick? Mouth muscle memory. We talked about that last Wednesday night. Mouth muscle memory. Getting good stuff in my mouth, getting bad stuff out my mouth. Putting perversity away from my mouth. Getting corrupt talk far from my lips. Verse 25 says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Get your eyes looking straight. Get your eyes looking directly ahead of you. Don't look over to the left. Don't go looking to the right. Don't get distracted by all the stuff that's going on around. Get your eyes facing forward. Get your eyes looking straight ahead. And keep your focus. One of the things that I've been asking everybody to do when we come here together on Wednesday nights is, can you put your phone down for a second? Can I get your attention tonight? As I'm 10, 15 minutes in, it's a little after 8. Can I get your attention for just a minute? Can you give me 30 minutes of your time? And can I get you to gaze directly at the word? Look intently. Can I get you to not be so distracted by your phone buzzing, distracted by a text, distracted by somebody's post? Can you directly gaze? Can you look straight for a second? And then verse 26 says, make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. This reminds me of what we've been talking about on Wednesday nights, because we asked the question, and we've been asking the question for a while, how can I be consistent? It's in the sermon. How can I, what creates consistency? How can I be consistent? How can I walk firmly? How can I not be shaken in a shaky world? How can I, what's the path that's firm in a shaky day? What's the path that's firm in a shaky world? That as we read it earlier, the Hebrews 12, 28 says, and I'll read it again, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, since we acknowledge that, no, this is kingdom. I'm a kingdom somebody. I'm a kingdom person. I'm a kingdom believer. And that kingdom of God, that kingdom of God makes me say, all right, I cannot be shaken. Since I'm receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, I gotta worship God with awe and reverence. I gotta bless his name. I gotta honor him. I gotta be serious about his hand in my life because I'm receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and there's an expectation that I not be shaken. Folk are looking at me, expecting me not to be shaken. Folk are looking at me. I know I'm not the only one. Many of you are like me. You've got people in your life who are looking for you to be consistent. They're looking for you to be somebody they can lean on. You're just trying to lean on the Lord yourself. You're just trying to lean on the everlasting arms yourself. And there are folk who are leaning on you. I know I'm not the only one. I need a witness in here tonight. I know I'm running out of time. I know I'm not the only one that can say, oh, my Lord, Pastor Andy, it's bad enough. I'm trying to hold it together, but then I got folk calling me and aunts and uncles and other. As for me, Pastor Andy, I got world overcomers. I got other leaders calling me. I got sons and daughters. And everybody's looking at me, and my consistency is something that they rely on. I am determined to walk securely. I am determined to not be shaken. Since I've received a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And we ask that question. Okay, so how can I not be shaken? What is it that makes me unshakable? What is it? I want to finish it up tonight. We ask that question. What creates consistency? What are these kingdom tethers? I'm proud of myself. I got to the meat real quick tonight. What creates consistency? What are these kingdom tethers? What are the things that hold me down? What are the things that hold me solid? Okay, I almost don't even want to give you a review because I'll get all into it and won't get to finish it. But just by way of review, last Wednesday night, we said, number one, therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. So number one, we said powerful, present people. You need people that are powerful. You need people that are present. You need people that know how to pray. You need praying people in your life. There I go, sharing on it too much in the devotional. But you got to have some people around you. Anybody got a friend that sticks closer than a brother? Anybody's got, not just Jesus, but got actual people that are there for you in your tough moment. Number one, I realized, first of all, if I'm going to be able to be consistent, I need some people around me that are consistent. It's almost impossible for me to be consistent if there's people around me that can't be consistent. So number one, it's going to take that. It's going to take some powerful, present people. We said number two, purpose, direction. We said you can't do this life thing by yourself in point number one. We said number two, purpose, direction. You can't do this life thing without a GPS. I know many of us remember dads looking for maps and my parents stopping and asking people for directions. You can't do this life thing without a GPS today. There's too many turns. There's too many questions. There's too much that's unstable. You need some kind of direction. You need the voice of God that shakes the cedar. Can I speak that over you? Direction. Though he give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, may your teachers not be hidden from your eyes. May you hear a voice behind you saying clearly, this is the way, walk ye in it. May your GPS not be off. My God, may you not turn it off. May you listen to it. We said you can't do this life thing without a GPS. You need purpose. You need direction. You need some kind of aim. if you're going to do this life thing. We said number three, the third thing, Paul, the writer of the Hebrews says, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. So we said number three, the third thing is a realistic perspective. Can't do this life thing without a reality check. Sometimes stuff is just a reality check. Sometimes the things we're going through is just a reality check. These moments, these times in our history, as much as this is a challenging moment, as much as it's a horrible moment, and we've lost more people than we ever thought we would have we would lose. And then we're facing going into the school year, and what's going to happen? It is a reality check for some of us. Some of us are finding out how much we really know God. We are finding out what kind of life we have with Him. We're finding out what kind of job we had. We're finding out what kind of money we had. We're finding out what kind of peace we really had. Anybody can have peace when it's great. We're finding out if we have peace in the middle of a storm. It's a reality check. Sometimes we don't like for folk to give us that reality check, but I would contend, and I'm contending in this devotional right now, as I'm running out of time, I gotta move on, is that you cannot do this life thing without a reality check. You need somebody that can speak truth to you, somebody that can tell you the thing you may not want to hear. The fourth thing we said in verse 7, Hebrews chapter 12, says endured hardship is discipline. God is treating you as sons. So the hardship, the challenge, the difficulty, what you're facing right now, someone that's watching, you got some tough news today. You want to ask me why? My God, I wish I knew why. I wish I knew why bad things happen to good people. I wish I knew why tough stuff takes place. There's a passage of scripture, and here I'm going off, but there's a passage of scripture where the children of Israel passing through an area they call Marah. It means bitter. The waters there are bitter. Something was wrong with the water there. It was bitter. It was poisonous. They couldn't drink the water, and they're in the desert. They need water. There's millions of them, and they've got cattle, and they've got to drink, and they got, and Moses says to the Lord, Lord, what are we going to do about this water? And the Lord says, take this branch. Lord shows Moses a branch. He goes and cuts the branch off, and the Lord says, throw it in the water. He throws the branch in the water. It makes the bitter water sweet. And one of the messianic titles for Christ is He's the branch out of Jesse. And that a lot of us are learning how to take the branch of Christ and throw it in the bitter waters of this COVID-19. Throwing the branch of Christ into the bitter waters of being a black Christian, being an African American, and dealing with racism that has been here for 400 years and is still continuing to this day. Throwing the branch of Christ in the middle of the sexism, in the middle of the abuse, in the middle of the slavery, throwing the branch, it's what we've done. We've thrown Christ in the middle of our difficult moment, and we endured hardship as discipline. We just said, God is treating us as sons. And because you can't do this life thing without discipline. A life without discipline ends up being a life that's barely worth living. Can't do this life thing without discipline. I get to my last three points. And point number five, in verse 12, he says, therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. It just relates to the passage we read in Proverbs chapter 4, where Solomon says, yeah, make level paths. That's the work I'm doing. I'm not just walking paths, I'm making paths. Oh, I know I'm not the only one. Some of us are just trying to walk somebody else's path. Others of us are cutting paths. There's a trailblazer anointing that's on us where we're cutting a path. We're making a way. Some of you are the first in your family to do what you're doing. You're cutting a path. And you've got to make a level path. You got to make a path that's level. You got to make a path that you can walk on in the darkness. You got to make a path that's so level that even somebody that can't walk like you can walk it. My God. You got to make a path so straight and so level that even the lame, even someone that has been robbed of their ability from birth, robbed of their ability because of an accident, that even that person can walk on your path. The path's not good if it only works for the privileged. The path's not good if it only works for the people that were born in the right family. The path's no good if it only works for people that have a certain level of education. No. The path we cut has to be a path that even folk that weren't born in the right situation can walk on that. Oh, God. We have to make a Christianity that is universal, that doesn't just fit a group. A privileged few that were born and happened to be blessed enough or lucky enough to be born in this one particular place of this one particular skin color. Well, no, we've got to make a path that is level so that the lame can walk it and find healing. You can't do this life thing without paths. It's in the notes. I got it in here. Make level paths, because you can't do this life thing without paths. You're going to need some kind of path. You're going to need something that's clear. You're going to need something you can walk on when it's dark. You need something you can go to when you don't know what to do. I think it was last Wednesday night, I talked about muscle memory. Yeah, muscle memory. It's like there's certain things that the path is there. I have such a path of it. It's such a consistency. It's such a muscle memory. It's such a practice that even when I don't know what to do, even when I can't see what's next, there's a path that I can walk on. You can't do this life thing without paths. Sometimes in the counseling sessions I have with couples, I talk to them, and you know, they watch LaShawn and I from our Monday night show, and I know this past Monday night, I said some great stuff, and LaShawn said some great stuff, but they watch us, and we talked about this on Monday. We talked about it that You think that it just happens. My relationship with this girl, put it right here. It's not magic. It doesn't happen by magic. She got some black girl magic, but it don't happen by magic. This thing, it's some practice. That our vacation is a practice. Our date night is a practice. It's a path that we walk on. One of the things that's happened from the coronavirus is that we haven't really been able to go on vacation. So it's almost like we're like, well, where do we walk? Because we've made level paths for our feet. How did you all make it through this difficulty, Pastor Andy? We had level paths. How'd you make it through them triplets? I don't know. We had level paths. My soul looks back and wonders how we made it over. How did you survive Alexandra and Kayla? I don't know. My soul looks back and wonders how we made it over. How are you making it through the Robbie? Through many dangerous Robbies and AJs through Kerwin stuff. How did you make it? We made level paths. We made communication bridges when it wasn't stormy. We made it in the daytime when we could see. You can't do life without paths. Number six, I gotta move on. I know this is good. I'm running. Look, it's already. My Lord, it's almost 8:30. Let me finish up. And verse 14, he said, "I want you to make every effort to live in peace with everyone, and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son." What's the sixth thing? The sixth thing and the seventh thing are all in these verses. The sixth thing that you got to have, that's a tether. How am I not shaken? Well, in the middle of the earthquake, I'm on a level path. I made level paths for my feet. The earth is shaking. It's dark. I can't see, but I've removed all the roots. I know that if I just walk straight, if I keep my eyes directly in front of me and I keep walking toward my purpose and I keep following my GPS, and if I got those level paths for my feet, I know I'm going to get there. I'm not shaking because the paths are level. I'm not shaking, number six, because I got peace at home. Oh, God, peace at home. He says here, I want you to make every effort to live in peace with everyone. I want you to make an effort. Can I speak that over you? To make an effort to not fight at home. Oh, God, help us, Holy Ghost. Help us all, God. I'm praying for you. It's bad enough you got to fight on the job. It's bad enough you got folk in your job don't like you. It's bad enough you're black Christian. You're scared of it. You're trying to get home without getting pulled over. You're trying not to get choked out in the street. It's bad enough that you got folk that don't like you. It's tough enough that you're a black woman. It's tough enough that you're a woman. It's tough enough that you're Hispanic. It's hard enough that you're living in China. It's difficult enough. The last thing you need is to be fighting out there, running out of time, fighting out there and got to come home and fight. He says, I want you to make every effort to live at peace with everyone, especially everybody at the house. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God. Give grace. Say, all right, well, if nothing else, I'll give you God's grace. One of the great things about this black girl the Lord gave me as a gift is she got grace for me. My God, just grace for me. Just the grace of God. He has grace for me. I need that grace because I'm far from perfect. I need a comment. I need an amen. Not saying I'm far from perfect. I need somebody saying, yeah, me too, Pastor Andy. I need a guy say, yeah, me too, me too, PA. If it wasn't for this chick, I am far from perfect. I need grace. He's saying, if you're going to live at peace at home, you got to make sure no one falls short of the grace of God. And you can't let any bitter roots grow up. I mean, bitterness may try, but you can't let it get a root. My God. I've counseled people who in their home life, that bitterness, it's not just in the air. There's a root down in there that's tripping them in their path. God help us. That one of the things that, believe me, folk have been asking me in a DMPA, how you doing? How you doing? My brother Matt, him and I talked last week, and he asked me, he said, hey, how you doing, man? There's so much pressure on us as pastors. How you doing? And I said, man, I'm making it. I'm holding on. God is faithful, and y'all have been faithful, and y'all have been giving, and folk have been tithing, and God is faithful, and he said, yes, it is, man. God is there. But it helps that I'm not fighting at home. It helps that, because the second thing when I say peace at home is make an effort not to build a home with enemies. I need a sip after that. Make an effort not to build permanence with enemies. Has anybody built permanence with enemies? My God. Anybody got a baby's mama end up an enemy? Anybody got a baby daddy is an enemy? Anybody got an ex-wife enemy, ex-husband enemy? Now you got a child with somebody that can't stand you and you can barely stand. You wanna lay hands on them and tell God you found them dead. Yeah. Make every effort to not build a home with enemies. Make every effort to not be so insecure that you allow yourself to be enamored with someone who continually disapproves of you, who just continually finds fault in you. You have to be careful. One of the reasons why in the books I've written, and I'm trying to get people not to just jump into bed with one another, is because you end up with a sexual relationship and a soul tie with someone that you really don't like, and they really don't like you. There's some of you watch, a part of the challenge is y'all got booty bumping together. Y'all got baby together, but you don't necessarily have compatibility. You have to make every effort to not get an enemy in your bed. Years ago, when I was a teenager, there was this movie called Sleeping with the Enemy. Julia Roberts, I think. Make an effort. You can't do this life thing and fight a war at home. I'm telling you right now, you can't do this life thing and fight at the house. At some point, something gonna go, something got to give, especially this generation, my generation, Xers, millennials, Zs, they are not gonna be fighting at the house. Matter of fact, we've even seen folks that are older who just split up, not together no more, because the fight at home is almost too much. You can't do this life thing and fight a war at home. How have you been able to be successful in the ministry, Pastor Andy? Well, it helps that I don't fight at the house. It helps that when I come home, my wife's not like, where are my comments at? It helps that God gave me somebody with some grace for me, and I have some grace for her. It helps that I'm not fighting the devil right now, and I rebuke the devil off of your life, but that I'm not fighting the devil here with the Bible, and then I got to go home and fight the devil at the house, my Lord. Make every effort. Peace at the house. Believe me, turmoil at the house makes the shaking in the world even more shaky. Bad enough stuff's going on in the government. Bad enough the election. Bad enough the stuff that took place. The last thing is for you to drive home, get out your car, walk into a fight. Life's too short for that. If you're not going to be shaken, you need to have peace at the house. Now, I know old super spiritual, spooky deep people want to say, oh, well, you know, you just need more Holy Ghost, and you just need more Jesus, and you just need more hallelujah. And what y'all need to do is the family that stays thinking about it. I hear all of that, but that's a lot of over spiritual, spooky deep fake talk. That's not real talk. Real talk is you better be careful who you spend time. You better be careful who you sleep with. You better learn the lesson and have a conversation before you have a child together, before you end up tied to someone that's crazy. Help me, Holy Ghost. I'm almost done. I'm done. And then he also says in these verses, verse 14, he says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. I was raised holiness. I could do that. I was raised holiness. I was raised strict holiness. They took that scripture to mean that if you're not holy, you won't see God, meaning you won't make it to heaven if you're not holy. Church of God, Evening Light Saints, folks that raised me, taught me who God was, they believed that this passage meant that if you're not holy, you're not going to make it to heaven. I don't know if that's how I see the passage. I think for by grace we all have been saved through faith, and it's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works, so that none of us can boast, for we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And as holy as I think I am, and I'm pretty holy, let's not get ridiculous about it. I ain't no pastor, and he ain't nowhere near no kind of perfect, and this black girl will tell you. But I'm saying to you that No matter, my righteousness is as filthy rags in his sight. I still need Jesus. I still need God. I still have, even if I don't do it, it's in my heart. I need a witness. Even if I didn't kill nobody, I wanted to kill him. Even if I didn't slap nobody, I wanted to slap him. Even if I didn't choke nobody, I wanted to. Even if I didn't cheat, I wanted to. Oh, I need a witness. I need an honest somebody. So, I mean, the idea that there's this holiness line that they're going to make for you and they're going to define for you what's holiness and what's not holiness. I think without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Meaning, I think that sin clouds your revelation of God. I think without holiness, it's harder to really see him. It's harder to really see him in your situation without holiness. I think without holiness, people can't see God in us. Woo! I think it's hard. One of the reasons why I'm striving for perfection, and I'm far from it, but I'm striving is because it's hard for people to see God if they can't see a man of God they can trust. It's difficult for unbelievers to see the Lord. They're not going to come to church. They're going to see Christ in you, the hope of glory. Without holiness, men won't see the Lord. When I think holiness, the thing that the Lord said to me is proper value on pleasure. Oh, my God, it's 8:35, almost 8:4. Proper value on pleasure. Every one of us love us some pleasure. I need a witness. Every one of us love us a pleasure. We love some pleasure. This black girl here, not only is she smart, not only is she administrative and organized, she's a good mama. She can cook a meal. She can pray. She can call on Jesus, call on a Savior. But there's something else this girl can do that got to do with a pleasure for Pastor Andy, let me tell you. And we all love a pleasure. We love cakes. I'm a cake baker. We love sweets. We love chocolate. We love fun. We all love pleasure. The mistake is to try to make holiness the denial of all pleasure. What holiness is the proper value on pleasure. Pleasure is important, but it's not more important than the respect of my children. Pleasure is important, but it's not more important than the respect of the ministry. Pleasure is important, but it's not more important than what God has called me to do. We all love pleasure, and let him who's without sin cast the first stone. But one of the worst things that can happen is for people to have a disproportionate value on pleasure. They have placed pleasure so high that they end up in jail. They put pleasure so high that they end up losing everything. That we all can get hooked on a feeling. We all have taste buds that bring us pleasure. The Lord made us with taste buds. The Lord made it so that a donut tastes the Lord made it for us to like sugar. The Lord made it for us to like the tang and the salt. The Lord made it that way. The mistake is to not have the proper value on that pleasure. So that you eat so much that you lose your life over the pleasure. Holiness is saying, all right, I gotta put a limit. It's pleasurable, but yeah, playing a video game is fun, but I can't play every day all day. Yeah, Call of Duty's great. And I'm just saying that out my mouth because I can't play any of those games because I get motion sick. God help us, Jesus. I'm just old. My brain's too old. I can't keep up with all these highfalutin fast games. Give me some Pac-Man. But anyway, what I'm saying is is you can't play Call of Duty, Modern Warfare, whatever it is. You can't play it all day, all night. You can't play so much you lose your job. You can't play Fortnite every second so much so you don't go to college. Yeah, there's pleasure, but there's got to be a proper value on pleasure. Because you can't do this life thing without borders. Woo, God. Word says that where there's no vision, the people cast off restraint. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I know that. But one of the translations says the people cast off restraint. They want no borders. That you can't do this life thing without some kind of guidelines, without some kind of borders there, without some kind of rules, without something there that could say, that is a line I cannot cross. Right now, we are facing a reality and a humanity and a moment in American history in which there is an agenda, particularly of the left, that just wants everything to be okay. They want everything to be shaming, and they want no limits, no borders, no restrictions. They want everything to be all right. We want everything to be okay, and then we want to be mortified and shocked at the men who are perverse, at the women who become perverted. The challenge of pleasure is that pleasure can pervert you. Ooh, Lord. I'm supposed to be shutting down this devotional, and I'm dropping nuggets on you. Pleasure can pervert you. Pleasure can pervert you. There are some of us, like good old Pastor Andy here that was raised holiness, there are things I've just never experienced. I sat my sons down. I said, AJ, Robbie, I said, listen, I'm telling you, there's some things you don't want to experience. It will create an appetite in you that can pervert you if you're not careful. All of us can fall susceptible to the perversion of pleasure if we're not careful. You can get to sprinkling salt on your food and you can't even eat. You don't even taste your food before you start shaking salt on there. You don't even know if it needs salt. But your mouth is so salt driven that you have to be careful that pleasure doesn't become perversion. Holiness. I know we want to have a church without holiness. I know we want to have a country without holiness. I know we want to have no hold bar. We want to have open marriages. We want everybody to be able to do whatever they want to do. We don't want nobody judging nobody. Well, that's them, Pastor Andy. Y'all need to leave them alone. You don't need them. If they want to have an open relationship, if that's how they are, see, that's what's wrong with y'all. But at some point, somebody got to say, yeah, but that don't work. There's got to be some kind of border without which no man will see the Lord. We want a country without holiness. Now we want a clergy without holiness and a church without holiness. We want a gospel preached to us without holiness. We want a doctrine of the Bible without holiness. And the problem with it is that if there isn't a border, then the pleasure will lead to perversion, and perversion will destroy humanity. How am I not shaking? I got some holiness around there. He is my rock, my salvation, the fortress of my shield, and I cannot be shaken. I keep quoting that song. It's called He Is. My one of my worship ministers, Tamala, he is my rock and my salvation. What is it that keeps me from being shaken? Well, the holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. I can't sell my birthright out for a pot of stew. Can't be like Esau, who did not know how to put the proper value on pleasure. Sold out his birthright for some stew. My God, help us to not sell our birthright out over a pot of soup. give us wisdom. Give us insight. Give us a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Oh, my Lord, did it again. Went over, but it was good. It was good. So glad you were with us tonight. Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. Lord, I just thank you. Thank you for these moments. Thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet and light unto our pathway. Thank you. Thank you that we're looking for level paths. Lord, we're looking for firm paths in a shaky world. We're looking for level paths for our feet. Paths that even the lame can walk on. God, we are looking for your hand on us. We're looking for your anointing on us. Lord, here we are, rolling on 9 o'clock. But God, we thank you that your hand is on us for good. As we are slowly about to turn the corner into August, oh God, we pray that you would heal our land. Heal our country, heal our land. Heal us of our racism, heal us of our disease, heal us of our anger, heal us of our pride and our defensiveness. Saturate us with yourself. We'll praise you for what you do and say you're worthy in Jesus' name. So glad you're with us tonight. I can't hold you any longer. I want to see you here on Sunday. I got a word for you. I'm going to share a word with you on Sunday. You don't want to miss it. And I already have a little bit of an inkling of what the Lord's got me. It's Lord's been talking to me about Ezekiel and the Valley of Dry Bones. You want to be here on Sunday, don't miss it. And 9 and 11:30, we're going to have a time together. Worship, word is going to be powerful. And glad you were with us today. And invite somebody, share this with someone, let somebody know. We are sharing the word with you literally around the world. And we're going to make it easy. We're working on it. It's going to be a quick little thing where you'll be able to drop a member to a number. We're going to send you a link and you'll be able to take membership classes. We realize our membership is opening up around the world, and we're not trying to go back to how it was before. We are determined to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to all of you, wherever you may be. And we are glad you're with us tonight. And we want to see you this Sunday, 9 o'clock. 11:30, this Sunday the 26th. You want to be here. I'll be here live. I have a word for you, and we'll be ready to see you on Sunday. Share this link. Come on, let me pray for you one more time. Lord, thank you for our time together tonight. Thank you that we can look into your word and be fed by it. Thank you for the spiritual power that's available to us. Thank you for the path that's available to us to walk on. Thank you for everyone that's cutting paths. Use us for your glory. Dismiss us from this place, never from your presence. Lord, I'm about to go home and be God in our situation, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. We all sit together, amen. See you Sunday. See you Sunday.